All right, Pastor.
We're ready?
Ready.
All right. Hey, look what the Ruach HaKodesh blew in. Minister James is with me tonight. God bless you. Great. Thanks for taking the trip all the way down from San Diego. Do us the honor of praying us in, praying me in tonight, and praying over the word. And thank you for being here. It's an honor.
Thank
Praise
you.
God.
Well, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for another awesome opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and learn of you. I pray for a fresh and a new anointing upon Pastor Sandy as he gives out the bread of life for the nourishment of the body of Christ. May you speak through him boldly and clearly, and may it go out to the ends of the earth so that people would repent and believe the gospel and turn to you, King Jesus. Bless us all tonight in the name above all names, Jesus the Messiah, we ask it all. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank
Amen.
You. Take that with you. You can follow me.
Praise God.
All right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Put it on.
Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. God is good all the time. Adonai Gadol. Adonai Gadol means he's great. Arur means he's worthy. Okay, I got to show you guys this. I can get it off this desk and I can stay under 280. Who brought the cookies?
Canada.
Sabotage.
Canada.
These look good too. You brought the chocolates too? Oh, Hawaii brought the chocolates. Okay, what's your name again, your first name?
Tammy.
Tammy brought the cookies from Canada, remote part of Canada. She's so deep in Canada, you don't even know where she's at. What's the name of it? She just says the Northwest Territories, where there's a lot of snow and it's cold. That's where she lives. Anyway, she brought me these, which I'm going to have to... My wife will hide them from me because she know I can eat the whole box in one day or 1 hour. And then, of course, from Hawaii, we got... This is with macadamia nuts in it, right?
Dude.
Man, life is so hard. You know, I've been riding a bike and losing weight and doing all that. I'm like, I'm not going to drink any sugar. I'm not going to eat any sugar. I'm going to be good. Because I'm telling you, I could do both of these in like less than an hour. But I'm not going to. I'm going to share.
The plaque.
The plaque? Oh, yeah. Now, who did the plaque? S. Soldiers for Christ. And he got it in soldiers. What is this made from?
Mango.
It's made from what kind of tree?
Mango.
From a mango tree? Wow, look at that. I used to jump over people's trees, over their fences, and grab as many mangoes and then jump back over the fence. Because I grew up in Miami, you know? And so they had mangoes everywhere. But you got to jump over the fence, grab the mangoes, and then before the person finds you that you're picking them, jump back over. Yeah, I repented, though, so don't say nothing.
You repented?
All right. Okay. Oh, wow. Let me watch this. I'm going to read this card, Pastor Ben. Shalom, everybody, and our YouTube family all over the world, in Africa, China, Israel. It's cool to have some friends in Israel because I can talk a little Hebrew to them. And all over. I can't name every nation that we're in, but praise God. How did this happen, Mother Sharon? Huh? How did we get all over the world?
You claimed it in the beginning.
Pastor Ben claimed it. I told him he was crazy.
Yep.
He said, the Lord told me we're going to be worldwide. I was like, get out of here. Okay, so Pastor, he's the prayer guy, though. Dear Soldiers for Christ Community Church, thank you for your YouTube ministry. It has fed my soul since November of 2017. It has prepared me for our, eventual and soon coming departure. Then she kind of wrote it in tongues. This earth to
That's
the
right there from Canada.
To the wedding supper. It was only one word in tongues, but I figured it out. I was able to interpret the tongue. So, all right, praise God. Thank you. She's right here. Hey, I like that. Thank you. I'm gonna bring all my cars and just dump them out. You guys gonna go? You're sick. You keep everything. everything. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, Sean and Dominique, also for being here. I appreciate it. I'm glad I got your email because I didn't know your text because I did they text? No, they emailed you and then you emailed it to me. Thank you. Okay, now, I realize that the Lord called me for a great reason in this time. And it's to teach the Bible. And I thought nobody wanted to learn the Bible because every time people would come to church, they would go, Pastor, I like the teaching and all of that, but I just need a word of encouragement. I don't need all that teaching. And I thought, maybe she's right. Maybe I should. And the Lord slapped me like you could feel him, like, be quiet. You be who I made you to be. And if she needs to find another church, you let her go where she needs to be. And so the Lord made me to teach the word. And it's very important to teach the word because there's so many little traps that Satan sets up for people, you know. And if you don't hear it, if you don't learn, then it's easy to fall into a trap. Okay, I want to talk about one of the traps. There's someone sent this to me, that they have a New Testament version in Hebrew. Okay, now for me that would be like, okay, wow, that's exciting. But what they're doing is they're saying, see, some of the Hebrew words are clearing up a lot of misinterpretations of the New Testament. So now you can use this new Hebrew by New Testament in Hebrew. And the Holy Spirit just clicked right away. If God wanted the New Testament in Hebrew, he would have made the original document of the New Testament in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Why did God make the Old Testament or the Tanakh in Greek and make the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, the Old Testament in Hebrew, and then the Brit Hadashah in Greek? Why did God do that? You guys know why? Because the Greek is also, every letter is a number. And the Hebrew, every letter is a number. So therefore, God married two languages together and using both those languages, but he made all the numerical values equal out with each other so that you know whoever wrote this one also designed this one. So, because like if you read like in Hebrew, they rejected the rock of their salvation, right? So the rock, Tazor, would be 296. But then when you read his name is Jesus, Jesus in Greek would be 888. Well, the rock times the Trinity is 296, 888. So whoever said they rejected the rock in the New Testament in Greek, it said this is who they really rejected, Jesus. He's the Trinity. He's the rock. Okay. So the Hebrew confirms the Greek by making all of the numerical values match. Okay. And God does incredible things with the numeric values so that you can go, wow, I didn't know he meant that. Now I can find out. Cause we see in the Hebrew, he sent the dove out, right? Now the dove might be 71 in Hebrew, but it'll times 10 and then it'll be the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit in Greek would be 710. So you see, all God did was times it times 10. And once he timed it times 10, then it gives you the real meaning of the word. Okay? So you will know, like, the dove being 71, who is he really talking about? The dove is also the Holy Spirit. That's who he's talking about. So you clear it up in there. Like he'll say in the Hebrew, the Passover, Pesach, right? But it equals 148. But in Greek, he'll times it times 10, so it'll be 1480. And who you think the Passover is? Christ. Christ is our Passover. So he'll clear it up to let you know who your Passover is. Your Passover is Christ. I'm going to times this times 10. And he does that repeatedly so that you can know. Somebody linked all of these words so that we know the true strength of the meaning by going to the Greek. Well, anyway, they went to they're reading this book, and it said, oh, here it says that the people that are taken are the ones that are going to be taken to be destroyed. Okay? Now, the word taken in Greek means peralambano, which means taken as a friend or a companion, right? But they said, oh no, see, the Greek says they're taken to be destroyed. I mean, the Hebrew says they're taken to be destroyed. I said, God never meant for the Brit Hadashah to be in Hebrew. It's in Greek. Because Greek, let me tell you something about Greek. Greek is a very specified language. Greek doesn't leave any room for confusion, right? I can say I love Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben don't know what I mean if he don't know me, right? He'd be like, what you mean, bro? But if I said in Greek, he would know exactly, because I would use one of the Greek words for love. That means I love you as a brother. Right? There's another word for as intimate. There's another word for this. So Greek, what Greek does, it has a specified word for each thing that you say. Okay? So therefore, there's no confusion. Thank you very much. So I wanted to tell you that. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about is this other confusion. And people are saying, oh, I did a message Thursday. Once save, always save, right? Okay, with permission of the Lord, I'm going to say what happened here, okay? Now, I wasn't going to teach on that. The only thing I wanted to teach on was God soon coming. God told me, I want you to teach on once saved, always saved. You can do it on Wednesday or you can do it on Thursday. I said, okay, I'm going to do this one on Wednesday and I'll do that one on Thursday. I woke up that morning, the Lord had me on once saved, always saved. I want you to know where the root of it is, where it comes from, why Jesus says he hates it. And I want you to teach on it, okay? Now, I did that, but I had no idea that there's some guy named Barry Soros or something that said, but listen what he did though. This is crazy. And I forgive him in Jesus' name. He said, we can't be following crazy preachers like Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and who else did he name? Oh, and Joel Osteen. And then he named somebody else really bad. And he said, oh, and Sandy Armstrong. No, I went, ah! did he push me in there with all of them? The only person he left out was T.D. Jakes. I was like, oh my goodness. He threw me in there with like some real slimy people.
You made it now, bro.
So I said, wait a minute. Kenneth Copeland is a 33-degree Mason. Creflo Dollar is a Mason. And Joel Osteen clearly is worshiping something other than God, because he was at Lady Gaga's concert, him and his wife, this past week.
No.
Right? Oh, Joel Osteen and his wife were at Lady Gaga's concert. And but this guy threw me in there with all of those saying that because he preaches that you're not once saved, always saved. And I went, okay.
Wow.
Lord. I had never seen it before, but now I saw it, and I said, now I know why you wanted me to preach on that.
Wow.
Because there are people out there that you never called to ministry that are preaching whatever they want to preach because they're on YouTube. And if there isn't someone that digs into the scriptures, see, when we dig into the scriptures and we're teaching you the word of God, we're also guarding you from falsehood. Because now that you're being taught, now you know, okay, I know why this is false, okay? Don't let anyone tell you you need to reinterpret the New Testament in Hebrew to get the true meaning. Because if you in the New Testament, God never meant for the New Testament you to read the New Testament in Hebrew. He meant for you to read the Old Testament in Hebrew. He meant for you to read the New Testament in Greek, yeah, so that he can mesh all the numbers and make it perfect. Because his word is perfect, okay?
Amen.
So that I hope that kind of clears that up.
Wow.
But anyway, People were saying, "Hey, Pastor Sandy, you're dividing us. You're making us argue over once saved, always saved." And I said, "Jesus says he hates the doctrine." Okay, so why are you trying to defend somebody who's preaching the doctrine? Tell them they're wrong and move on. Right. You don't have to. We're not. I'm not doing this to divide. I'm doing this to bring clarity to those who really want to follow him. There are a group of Christians out there right now that are living lukewarm, that think they're okay. Yep. And for a minister of the gospel to preach a lie to get likes and all this stuff, mm-hmm. and whatever you do to, it would be absolutely crazy for you to go against your boss who has the keys to hell, mm-hmm. to preach so you can get more likes.
Amen.
So I'm like, look, it's a demonic doctrine, okay? It's a very demonic doctrine to tell people, even if you're in sin, you're still saved. Don't worry about it. That's a horrible. It's like me telling you, look, to my son, look, I know you're married, but even if you still have a few girlfriends, you're going to be okay. What's going to, you think his marriage is going to last? No, this is a covenant. I'm going to tell my son, look, you're in a covenant. You need to have your little crazy self at home at a decent time where your wife knows that you love her and that you respect her. If you're out too late or you're going out, you don't come back, you're being a fool. I need to tell him that because what? He's in a marriage relationship. I'm telling the body of Christ the same thing. You're in a covenant relationship that has some rules. And one of the rules is you came in this to be obedient to the word of God. Okay. Awesome God we have to be able to provide forgiveness for us when we make mistakes, but don't make mistakes and just continue in it because somebody told you you're once saved, always saved.
Amen.
So the Lord told me to read this particular scripture tonight. And then he said, don't ever talk about this again, because if you want to be wicked, you're going to be wicked. And if you want to be right with Christ, you're going to find ways to repent so that you can continue to grow. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. This is Jesus talking. And he says, "Do not suppose that I came to bring peace to the earth." This is Jesus talking. "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his household." You hear that?
Yep.
So why would Jesus come to bring a sword, a division in the family? And what's going to bring that division? Christ.
Yes.
Because if you want to serve Christ and I don't want to serve Christ, it's going to bring a division in our home.
Yep.
And that spirit that controls them to reject Christ is going to act evil towards you because you want to follow Jesus. The persecution can be in your home. It can be among your own family members. But listen to what Jesus says after that. He says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." So Jesus wants you to take up your cross and follow him. Okay? That cross is a cross of obedience. It took obedience to stay on that cross when you have the power to get off and destroy everything in your sight.
Yes.
But his obedience kept him on the cross to fulfill that. And he says, you need to have this that was in Christ in you. What is that? This obedience. And so we want to be obedient. We want God to be proud of us. We want to repent when we hurt someone we love. And so God says, look, he didn't come to bring us all into unity so that we all get along. So even if he says, oh, this brother is fornicating against his wife, but he got saved when he was 16. So don't preach to him about it because he's going to be okay. And you say, oh, no, I got to tell him that he's in trouble and he could lose his salvation. Don't preach to him that, because that's not true. We're sealed to the day. And I'm supposed to preach that, right? It ain't going to happen. Okay. Christ came with a sword. Okay. And that sword says, those that are following me are going to go this way, and those that are not following me are going to go that way. And the sword will divide the two, okay? We should want to live for Christ, not try to live this lukewarm, mediocre life so that we can just say, oh, yeah, I believe he exists. Well, demons do that too, okay? So praise God.
Amen.
I'm moving on. If anybody have a once saved, always saved question, ask Jesus. And pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit. Do not ask me. I have no answers for it except for go to teaching number, whatever, whatever. Amen. And look at that and then and pray about it. Okay? Now, I want to tell you guys something before I start talking about the rapture and the wedding. And you begin to think, is he crazy? Is he still talking about the rapture? Why do you think I talk about the rapture so much?
Because it's going to happen.
Huh? It must be deeply embedded in Scripture. It's like, I remember when me and Drea made our wedding plans. And we made our wedding plans for a year. Like we got engaged March 18th, and we got married March 18th of the next year, right? All we talked about for a year was what?
Wedding.
The wedding. What do you think we should? How do you want my dress to be? What color should we wear? What about the rehearsal dinner? How many friends do you want to invite? I mean, every day, every month, it was always talk about the coming wedding. And then I would talk to her mom, and what do you think she wanted to talk about?
The wedding.
Let's talk about the wedding. Everything was about the wedding. Why? That was the day of hope. That was the day that we were going to come together. And it was a very exciting day in our heart. And this is something natural that happens one day and it's done. Our marriage lasts forever.
Yes.
And changes life forever. And so please don't ask me not to be excited about my wedding. Okay? Because that's all I want to talk about. What color? When we leaving? How we leaving? Okay. Now, when I pray, okay, in the morning, same prayer, Abba, especially on Wednesday, Matayane, Kesheane, Ledebir, Hayerev, when I speak this evening, Ane Rotse Omir Ma Ata Rotse Omir. I want to say what you want to say. Ane Lo Rotse Omir Ma Ane Rotse Omir. I don't want to say what I want to say. Tetli Balebi. Put in my heart the words you want me to say. And then when I pray that, I begin to study, I begin to praise God and listen, because I want to speak what God wants me to speak. I don't want to come up with my own message. Okay? So, after I did that, the Lord said, we're in the 71st year. I said, you ain't got to tell me. I'm already disappointed. What happened to the 70th? He said, you should look up 71. I went, why? He said, look up 71. Because what I'm trying to show you is that this is the time. Whose ministry is in the earth right now, Sandy? I said, the Holy Spirit. Say, this is his ministry. What's the numerical value of the Holy Spirit? I said, let me check. 71.
Ooh.
He said, well, that's whose ministry I am concerned about right now. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the world right now. Okay? And I said, okay. So tell the people, Lehakot Kaveh. Lehakot means wait, is the modern Hebrew, but kaveh means wait with expectation. Wait with great expectation, okay? Because now You do not know the day nor the hour. Only hint you have is summertime and after the wheat harvest. That's all you have. But he says, just wait. So I said, okay, Lord. He says, let's go back over the study of dividing the water, because the water has to be divided. And let's go back over the study of who the Holy Spirit is. And let's go and let's find out if this is the Holy Spirit's ministry. Has he spoken about what he's going to do in the 71? And so I said, let's do this. First of all, to do that, let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I'm so excited, I got to slow down, because inside, you know, you know where you want to get to, but you're like, if you don't explain it, they won't get there with you. Okay, so here we go.
What verse?
We're in Genesis chapter 15, and we are going to be in verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. Okay. Eleazar is going to inherit all of Abraham's everything in his house if he doesn't have a son.
Yeah.
He tells him, Eleazar is not going to inherit your everything that you have. You and Sarah are going to have a son, and he's going to be the inheritance to everything you have, right? So, but now listen what he says. He says, look, Eleazar, which means what in Hebrew? Come on, y'all. Helper. Atayo kole azuli? Ken, I know you kole azuli, huh? I can help you? Of course, right? Eleazar means helper. Is that one of the names that the Holy Spirit has given?
Yes.
The comforter, the helper, right?
Yes.
God calls Eleazar the helper. And everywhere you find Eleazar in Scripture, you're going to find an understanding that the Holy Spirit is at work and making things happen when there's an Eleazar. Okay, this is Eleazar, and he is second in command next to who? Abraham, the top guy, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Now, Genesis chapter 24 happens after Abraham has his son. So Abraham has his son. He already then took him to the mountain for the sacrifice, and then didn't get his sacrifice. And on the third day, he got his son back. All of that just happened. But now, God says, wait a minute, the story's not over, right? So if the story's not over, God goes to chapter 24 and he tells him.
What verse?
In verse 1, he says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh. Who's the chief servant in Abraham's house? Eleazar. He's talking to Eleazar. Listen what he tells him. He says, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites. So he's going to send Eleazar out from where he is to go and find who? A bride.
His son.
I want you to go find my son a bride, okay? Who's in charge of bringing the bride back?
Eleazar.
Listen to the conversation. Listen. It says, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and to my relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure you do not take my son back there," Abraham says. So Eleazar's job is not to go get Jesus and bring Jesus to the bride. Eleazar, you go get her and you bring her here.
Right.
So is that what God's telling the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Did Jesus say, "I'm leaving, I'm going back home, but when I go, I'm going to send you an Eleazar. I'm going to send you a helper." You understand? So the helper is here. And what's he doing? Once he gets there, he starts looking for a bride. He even gets on his knees. "Lord, if you just help me, I don't know what to do." And he goes by the well and boom, there she is. Right? And what does he do? He starts witnessing. "Have you accepted Jesus Christ in your life yet?" You know, because he's very wealthy and his father is wonderful. And if you come back with me to his house in heaven, you can marry him and you'll be rich forever. As a matter of fact, here, I got some earrings for you. Pure gold, girl. I got a bracelet for you. Put this on your wrist. Right? He's giving her all these gifts and he's telling her what? "Come back with me and marry this guy." He's like, now, you know, if you say, "Hey, look, I want you to marry this girl, man. I got it." Because, you know, in college, they say, hey, man, I got a cousin I want you to meet." What's the first thing you say? "Show me a picture."
Right.
I want to see, you know, if I'm attracted to her, I want to see, right?
Right.
She doesn't get any pictures. There's no Kodak. There's no cameras. There's nothing. She's just like going on his word that this is a good guy and everything like that. And she decides, without even seeing Jesus, without even seeing Isaac, "I agree to go back with you." Eleazar takes her, lifts her up from the earth, and puts her on the camel, and takes the journey on his way back to go meet her husband. Okay, so now who's doing the job? The Holy Spirit. Whose ministry is this right now? The Holy Spirit. Is the numerical value of the Holy Spirit 70 or 71? Okay. Perfect timing. Sometimes, now, I'm not saying, "Oh, I'm so sure of this," and I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead me in this study, okay? So let's read this as we talk about this tikvah, okay? First thing, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Okay.
1:36?
Yeah, no, at chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Okay. Are you with me? Okay, it says, "These are the names of the son of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered how many?" Does that include Joseph or not? No. Joseph was already in Egypt. Okay? Now, Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. Okay? But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly. Now listen, Joseph is already in Egypt, and 70 more come. All of them die off within that generation, the 70 years. But when did Joseph die? Joseph was 71. So all his brothers, that whole 70 generation died off, but one was remained living, and he lived to be 71. And then Joseph died, okay? and joined his brothers where? In the bosom of Abraham, right? So now, those that gone before us go first, and we who are left and remain shall be caught up, and then we shall join them, right? So understand this. He's showing me, now this is, the Lord's leading me this. He says, now that's 71. Now he says, now go to Numbers chapter 11. And I know what people are saying. Pastor Sandy just as crazy as 1, 2, 3. That's what my mom used to say. But I'm just crazy about what God is doing. And I can't see us here that much longer. Amen. Okay? We're in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. You with me?
Yep.
It says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of the Israelite, of the Israel's elders, who are known to you as elders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meetings that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you, and there I will take the what? The spirit that is in you and put the spirit on them. And they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. So Moses had the spirit already.
Right.
And how many more is he going to give it to? Moses plus 70 is what?
71.
71. He says, I'm talking about the Spirit. I'm talking to you about a story about the Spirit of God, because the Spirit's numerical value is 71. And so I told Moses to go and get 70. And he said, I'm going to put the same Spirit that I have in you upon them, give them wisdom, they'll be able to judge the people. So now we got 71. 71 is the numerical value of what? The dove. Which is who? The Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue. So now I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Are you there? Okay. I need you guys to look at the board. I need you guys to look at the board. Because...
Use the marker?
No. The numerical value for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, okay, is expressing to you what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Okay? Because the dove... That's the Holy Spirit. What's the dove going to do? Malo. He's going to give you fullness. The fullness of what? To find out what fullness he was talking about, 71, the fullness of what? Of joy. So the Holy Spirit is going to show you what? The fullness. He's going to deliver you to the fullness of joy. Now, I say, okay, the Holy Spirit is the dove. We looked that up. So we know 71. But what is it also going to produce? Hallel. Praise. So the praise is the same as the 71. And what is that praise? Guess what is the equal out of the praise? The golden candlesticks. How is the Hallel, the praise of God, being confirmed by the seven golden candlesticks? In Revelation chapter 4, what do we read? Let's go there. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying nothing, because people only like, he just crazy. Yes, I am. But We're going to be in chapter 20. No, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Okay, now, in Revelation chapter 1, who does Jesus say the golden candlesticks are? Huh? Do you guys know? He says it's the church. He says, oh, and by the way, the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. Okay? Then we get to chapter 4, and guess who's who? Now, let's just read it first, because I'm going to get all excited.
What verse?
Okay. We're going to read in verse 5, because Eleazar just, let's read it all. Chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. He heard the voice, right? When we hear the voice, do you think that'll bring joy? We're going to get to that. And I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on the throne. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, rainbow, resembling an emerald, encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 elders. Seated on them were 24 elders. Okay? Were 24 thrones, and seated around them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came lightnings and thunderings and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were seven lamps blazing. In chapter 1, he already told us the seven lamps are the church. Do you think when we heard his voice and we came up, what do you think we got? Fullness of what? Joy. And who's there? Praising Hallel, the candlesticks. Woo. So I'm taking you to the study that God gave me today, okay? I told him, I was like, Lord, I'm going to say I'm not in it because they're going to think I'm crazy. He said, that's okay. That's okay. Because the Lord is trying to say, look, who told you to quit? Who told you I wasn't coming? Show me the scripture that says the wedding's off. Mm. Show me the scripture that says the wedding off. Show me the scripture that says God has decided that his son will not have a bride. Show me that scripture. And then I will tell you it's not going to happen. Show me the scripture that says that the son is not going to come up. And I'll tell you that one day the son won't come up. Only when God says, I'm getting rid of the son and you're going to see the sun, right?
Amen.
So, you can't show me the scripture. Who told us to give up? No one should give up. Who gives up on their own wedding day? Especially when you're in love and the person that promised you, it's impossible for him to lie. Come on. Amen. Now, let's continue here. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 29. I had said 1 Peter, right?
Yes.
Let's go to John chapter 3. We'll get back to 1 Peter. John chapter 3.
Verse 29.
I'm going to take a sip of water. I am much necessary. I am much needed. Minister James, you are much necessary and you are much needed. Because the body of Christ is living in a fleshly garment, and it's so easy for them to get off focus of what God has said. And it's easy for them to get away from who God is, the person that said it. Okay? And if you don't have true ministers, I'm not talking about people that are going around trying to make money. If you get 20,000 people text you and say, you a false prophet. Say, well, I'm a false one until I get married. Yeah. Right? So, because I'm telling you, you think that Satan does not know that the internet is popular? You think he hasn't assigned some people to YouTube? Juke told us that, right?
Yep.
Juke said, I came to interrupt you on assignment. He said, we have a whole clique of Satan worshipers, and I was sent to you on assignment to confuse people because I heard you was preaching the rapture. And he said, but you didn't even preach the rapture that night. You preached on how to give your life to Jesus. And you know, I never preached about that. I'm always raptured. Right. But that night, God said, preach about Jesus and about how to be saved. And he was there.
Yep.
And that's who gave his life to Christ.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So don't you think that Satan doesn't assign people and put people on the internet to confuse you. Okay? And they might come very sweet and loving at first, but in the end, they're not there for the right purpose. Because all I got to tell you is, because brother told me, he's up in San Francisco. He said, man, I never felt right living with this girl, but she keeps saying we're going to get married, but we never do. I said, brother, you're going to have to make a decision, because I don't think God is going to blow the trumpet and then wait for you to get married. And then I said, so you need to, and you should be daily repenting over that situation.
Amen.
He said, man, I'm getting out of here. He said, I'm gonna repent, give my life back to Christ. He repented, gave his life back to Christ. His girlfriend thought, well, I don't want to lose you. So she's like, well, let's just get married. So then in a couple of weeks, they planned the wedding and got married. So I was like, what was keeping y'all from doing it in the first place? You know what I mean? And you know what his answer was? I thought that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And she born again too. She saved. We both go to church every week. We just wasn't married. We were just going to church. And I said, well, that's a scary way to live your Christian life. You know you're both in sin, but you figure both of you are okay. Two be in the bed and both left. Right? So I'm like, we have got to be able to tell each other the truth so that we can save each other. If you warn a brother concerning his sin, you have saved him from what? From death. Right?
Amen.
Thanatos.
Amen.
Let's go. Where are we reading that? John chapter 3? I'm going to get to this. John chapter
15 minutes.
3, verse 29. I just got three scriptures too. Okay, here we go. And it says this. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Okay, let me stop because I need to read this from 27. He says, to this John replied, John the Baptist, right? John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify, I said, that I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to who? The bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and in full joy and is full of joy when he what? Hears the bridegroom's voice. The joy is mine and it is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. So, the fullness of the joy is coming when he does what? He said, when I hear his voice, the fullness of joy will be mine. I have heard his voice, and now the fullness of joy is mine. When you hear the trumpet, that trumpet speak from the sky, like a trumpet, his voice said what? Come up here. And there you will have what? 71. Fullness of joy. You will have Hallel, and you will now be a candlestick shining amongst your own, because now you know what? You don't need a body. You your own light.
Yeah.
You understand? You don't need a candlestick. You are a light. Now, let's go to Psalm 16:11. I'm going to do this. No, Psalm 16:11. And then I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to read this fast. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Praise God.
Amen.
Fullness of joy. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:8.
1:8?
Yes. And this is what it says. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Who loves Jesus?
Amen.
Who's agreed to marry somebody they've never seen?
Me.
Y'all brave. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. What are you in process? Because that receiving means you're in the process of receiving what? The goal. The goal of your faith is what? The salvation of your soul, which brings what? The fullness of joy. Because Holy Spirit, numerical value, is 71. He is the dove. And he says, when you see this dove descend upon, you'll know that that is the Son of God, right? And John said, witness. He said, I saw the dove descend upon him, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, 71. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to finish. Lehako kaveh, wait and wait with great expectation. Psalms 117, 118, and 119 tells the same story as Micah 7 and Isaiah 57. And what's that story? Micah says, the righteous man have disappeared. And no one pondered. And then Isaiah 57 says, the righteous have vanished from the land. Okay? Then what happens next? Israel is in trouble. God, and now they're crying out to God. And what's the next thing that happens? The 888 comes and rescues Israel. And then we start the whole thing with the whole family of all of us, right? So, Psalm 17 speaks of what? The dividing of the water. Gentiles, you Gentiles, you Gentiles, praise ye the Lord. Two verses. All you Gentiles, praise ye the Lord, right? 117. God knew that 117 would be the end of the 6,000th year. But it's three chapters and one story. What's in chapter 118? Israel is in trouble. They swarmed around me like bees. They wanted to destroy me. But with your power, God, I destroyed them all. You rescued me. Okay? So he rescues them in 118. And what happens in 119, which is for 2019? The Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, shows up. How many verses for each letter in Psalms 119? 8 verses, 22 letters, 8 verses each. The 888 then appears, and then that's the new beginning. Okay, that is the new beginning. That is the beginning when what? We reign and rule with him on earth for 1,000 years. So listen. Do I believe that Jesus is coming? Yes. Am I crazy? I don't know, but I'm crazy for Jesus, and I'm not going to stop telling you what the Lord showed me. Now, this message the Lord gave me today said, look, the Holy Spirit is 71. He's never been 70. He is the one working now. You're in the 70th year, and you're in the summer after the 6,000th year, after the 120th Jubilee, after the 70th year of Israel. You're in the earth in the 71, and it's summer, which I gave you the biggest hint that I could possibly give you. The wheat harvest, when it's over, Ruth got married. Who told you to give up? Who told you to quit? Who told you that the wedding was off? Show me the scripture. I'm repeating to you what's been spoken to me while I'm on my knees. Who told you the wedding was off? I don't care if you're confused. I'm not confused. Tell the people these two words. Lehakot kaveh. Wait and wait with great expectation. Thank you, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
That is it. Hallelujah.